because really, before you even write that content, you've got to think, why am I writing this content? What is the purpose of this content? What do we want somebody who reads this content to do?
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of David versus David, the podcast for the small and medium business owner, where we look at all things related to marketing and business. And when I say we, that's me, myself here in the UK, David Pritchard, and my co-host, as ever, down on the other side of the world, standing on his head, is David Council in Hobart, Tasmania. Hello, David.
Hey, mate, how are you doing? Standing on my head.
Well, that's, okay. That's what you do down on the Antipodes, isn't it?
Oh, hang upside down, maybe, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, hang on there, yeah, indeed. Stop yourself dropping off the end of the world.
That's
but,
right.
Hey-ho. Yeah, no, been a good week, and I've been building websites this week, and my life varies. A small business owner myself, you find yourself in different areas of your business life and so on, and sometimes it's marketing, and sometimes it's admin, and sometimes it gets a little bit more creative, and certainly for me this week it's actually been a little bit more creative, which I rather like doing, and that's been building a website for somebody, one of my first customers that I'm still very involved with after, 6 years with them, so that's quite good. And anyway, it kind of leads on to a topic that we'll be covering in today's episode, I guess, which is creating website content.
Yeah, that the visitors to your website will love, absolutely love.
Yeah, indeed. It's something I get asked about quite often as well, is what sort of content should I be creating, and how do I go about finding the content, and how do I go about creating it, and so on. So it's a good topic to cover. It's an evergreen topic. It's one that never really changes. And I guess actually there's you know, in the years that I've been doing this, and I know you've been doing it involved for somewhat longer in both internet and other forms of marketing, but certainly regards internet, content marketing is probably at the fore at the moment. It's at the forefront, perhaps, of people's considerations for what a good website should have, and you know, all the tricks and the link building and the stuff that to get people to the top of Google and SEO and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, really, at the very heart of what is a good website, and one that will rank organically and naturally and not be subject to the whims of a Google slap and so on, and a change in the algorithm to beat the manipulators, good content is really at the heart of a good website, isn't it?
Absolutely. And more than that, too, I suppose, because when we talk about content marketing, I think a lot of people's brains go immediately to your website. But when we talk about content marketing, we're talking about what's on your website. So you've got to think of that in terms of both the actual content and then content that's created specifically for search engine optimization. So you've got to sort of split the tree at that point on your website. Then you've also got to think about content marketing that is social media. So that you're using as a media source to bring people back to either your business or to your website. And then there's content marketing that is email marketing. That's another form. And if you really start winding the clock back, content marketing that goes out in written form. So that could be, well, it could be stuff that you'd have downloadable from your website, but alternatively, it could be information that you hand out. For example, if you're going to an exhibition, or for that matter, if you're just going out to talk to somebody, or you've got somebody in a bricks and mortar shop and you want to put something in their hands. Car yards do it all of the time. Think about the last time you went and looked at a new car and you didn't walk away with some sort of brochure about that new car. I looked at a bicycle not that long ago and walked away with 3 brochures. and all of that stuff I could have got from the website. But in terms of local area marketing, that type of content is great you know, at that bricks and mortar source, because it ties you back to specifically that business and associates them with that brand, as opposed to allowing you to go to the website and go, oh, well, what about this bike or what about that bike? And, you know, it sort of, it takes the control out of the salesperson's hands and puts it back into the customer's hands. And it, there are times where you don't want them to know too much. You want to direct them towards the sale. You know, as you're coming to the thin end of the funnel, you're really trying to point them at a destination rather than allowing them to just fill their head with more and more information and procrastinate on the decision.
Yeah, indeed. It's a little bit like, I don't know, a lot of people do this, I'm guilty of it sometimes, but you drive into a car park, and if there's one slot left, you'll take it happily. If there's an empty car park with, a half-empty car park, you think, well, what's the best place to go and park? And you open up your choices, and you really want to be guiding that person to that last slot in the car park as if it is this last slot, and no matter what else might be around, you don't want to introduce choices at the wrong time in the buying cycle, and content marketing is all to do with that. I mean, content marketing should be a significant part of anybody's marketing strategy. It does a lot of things. It can introduce you and your business to a new audience. It can help establish you with authority in your own industry, your own business, your own area. Can help you build relationships with people, long-term business relationships, and builds trust with you and your audience between the both of you. And as you were saying earlier on, with like social media and so on, you can share this content, a little bit of twist and a little bit of realignment. You can share the same content through different social channels, marketing channels, print channels, all the ones you've just been talking about. So yeah, they all add up to give you an advantage over your competitors. And if you've got your content thought out and working on that, it really does give you a big leg up over your competitors. And it boosts your visibility enormously, and gets you found on search engines for website marketing, and gets you noticed for the other forms of marketing as well. The other, maybe not your own website, but other areas as such as you were just talking about.
And people with a small budget will spend a disproportionately large amount on creating content. And the reason that they do that is because it's at that call to action end. You know, you're right up with the intellectual justification end of the buying cycle. So you're trying to place both information and desire objects into their hands that's going to lead them just to that last step of do it.
Yeah.
And that's why you do see, that sort of larger part of the spend, up to a third of people's marketing budget can easily be spent on what is effectively content to close the sale. So, don't sort of sit there and go, well, I can't afford to spend too much because it's more important that I get, my Google AdWords done, or I've got to get, a good call to action radio ad. Yeah, you've got to just think about how you're moving that customer through the buying cycle. And that's why, creating these content messages that people will love is so important, because it's got to engage them. It's got to be the thing that pushes them over the edge.
Yeah, I've heard content marketing referred to as inbound marketing.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. You just clarify what's meant by inbound marketing there, David?
Inbound marketing is marketing that brings people. It's what it is. It is what it says it is. It's marketing that's bringing people into your business as opposed to pushing out. So there's inbound and push out. So if you're think of push out as a fishing expedition, where you're pushing information out there in the hope of getting someone on the hook to reel them in. Whereas content marketing is, as they're coming in, you're supplying them with the information that they're going to need to convert them into a sale. So you're answering their objections and their questions, and showing how that the benefits of what it is that you do solve their problems. Would that be how you put it?
Yes, these are people that are already on the hook. These aren't people that are perhaps, it's not, if you would like, overt advertising marketing. It's not radio ads as such to try and generate a new audience. It's actually, this is content for the people that are already aware of you, perhaps.
Yeah, they've perceived the need. They've already, they understand that they have a need for the solution that you're providing. You know, think of it in this way. The person who's standing in their living room and looking at their carpet and realizes that their carpet is dirty and it needs to be cleaned.
Okay, yeah. So actually, I've got that slightly wrong on my last one. It's not necessarily that they've heard of you, but they've established their need for a problem.
Yeah.
A solution for their problem. So they're looking for something and you are now providing that and going to get to the forefront of their mind with the information that you want to present to them so that they have the content to get to your solution.
Absolutely. So you're the carpet cleaner and you say, okay, not only do we clean your carpet, because that's what you're contacting us for. You need a solution to a dirty carpet, but here's how we do it. Here's why doing it this way is the best way and will get you the best result. And here's how our price is justified against a competitor's price. Here's why when we clean carpets and we say we do a four-room minimum, that we do that four-room minimum. You know, rather than just saying, well, that's our blanket. Yeah. You know, we won't come out to your house unless we can do four rooms. There's a reason for doing four rooms. That's this reason.
And that's why it makes sense. And that's why it's a good idea, isn't it? And that's why blah, blah, blah. And you lead people down that path then. As you're saying before, you lead them to that desired outcome, which I think now that's something that is really important when you're setting out to create content, and especially when you're setting out to create really good content. Is that I see quite a lot of content that is kind of like a waffly crap, basically. You know, it's we are this, we are that, da-di-da-di-da. Doesn't really have any point, does it, other than to satisfy the vanity of the chief executive or the business owner or whatever. Yeah. Because really, before you even write that content, you've got to think, why am I writing this content? What is the purpose of this content? What do we want somebody who reads this content to do? You know, so you really, what's the goal of the content? And you've got to ask yourself that. If you can't work out what somebody's supposed to do when they get to the end of reading the content or halfway through reading the content, you know, with calls to action and so on, and if you don't know what those calls to action are, what the point of the content is, what's the point of writing it? What's the point of putting it up there? You're going to be thinking about, what is the goal? Is it to raise awareness of the solution, your solution to the problem? Is it to raise awareness of, is it perhaps to introduce a product to somebody to, if you have this solution, then this is a complementary solution. This is an upsell. This is something that goes really well with it. Is it a cross sell? Are you looking at encouraging people to join your email list? Are you looking at converting people who come to your website to be a customer? I mean, that's ultimately what it is. And maybe you have a couple of different steps to them becoming a customer. Maybe, you know, you have a cycle where you found that this works, that you want them to, you know, take step A, and then, you know, a different piece of content would be to become step B, a different element of content, become a customer. Etc. Stuff like that, but you know, you can focus on what your goal of the content is, and that's very important in the first place. If you don't have a goal, you haven't got a piece of content.
I was going to say, as an exercise, do the old, you know, get out the notepad, draw a line down the center, and put on one side your goals, the things that you want to achieve in your business by advertising, by creating content, and then on the other side, write the word customer. And then put all of the things down that the customers are looking to achieve, and then get a different color pen and join the two up. Draw a line from one of your goals to one of your customers' goals so you can see where those two match up. And then you can start creating content, because if you're just writing about the things that you want and they don't match to what your customers want, then really you've got your megaphone out and you're yelling, but there's no one out there. You've got to yell about the things that your customers need solved.
There's a really good trick involved in this as well, actually, which is the more tightly aligned your content is to what your customer is looking for, the better. So get into your mind, it's kind of like you were saying that, I mean, this is how this led on, but set yourself a customer profile. Who is the kind of customer that's looking at this? You know, imagine yourself in their shoes, what kind of person they are. You know, you can even sort of get a mental image of them, if you like, as to even how they look. But think, you know, this is a guy or a gal who's, you know, got this issue, and they are 28 years old, they do this, they've got one kid, da-di-da-di-da, you know, whatever you need to do to build up this profile of a customer, your ideal customer. Build up that profile in your mind, and then align everything in that content very tightly onto that target profile, if you like, and then you can work out the message that you want to deliver to them and convey the knowledge that you want to deliver to them, so that, you know, at the end of the day, they are better off from having absorbed your content than they were before. Because if they're better off having absorbed that content than they were before, they're one step further down the path to becoming your customer and spending money with you, or, you know, whatever the purpose of your content is. Anything to add to that one, David?
I think that's pretty good, mate. I was going to move on to, where do you find this content? Honestly, it's the biggest question that we get asked, because most people who are in business are really good at doing what they do. You know, for example, my mechanic, he's awesome. He really does a great job looking after my cars. I have no concept of what it is that he's actually doing.
He's invoicing you, mate.
And yet, yeah, that's right. But yet, he treats the knowledge of what he does that keeps my cars in tip-top shape as if it was common knowledge. Because he spent a lifetime finding out how to make sure that my car runs to the peak of its condition. I spent a lifetime learning other things. So it's about extracting that information. It's also about knowing where that information is. So if you're not one of, you know, the world's most gifted writers or communicators, that's all right. There are other people out there who are, but you haven't got the budget potentially to be able to pay them to do that. That's okay as well. Look at the areas where someone else is putting that content out there, and go to those areas and find ways that you can adapt it and make it yours. You know, you can look at the headline of an article and go, wow, look at that. Someone's written an article on the easiest way to make sure that the coolant in your car is up to date. Well, that's a good idea. I know all about that. So therefore, you know, maybe I could just put down some dot points. That'd be a good way to start. And then you jot down the dot points, and then you go, right, now I'm just going to expand them out into no more than three sentences for each dot point. And you do that, and there you go. You've got a piece of content that will be great for search engine optimization, and also on a website for letting people know that you've got a system for making sure that people's coolant is up to date and the right coolant for that car. So you've achieved two of those things that we spoke about at the beginning.
I mean, if you're not sure about this sort of thing, maybe listeners, business owners and so on, that they have different kinds of, should we say, internet savviness. You know, obviously, all our listeners are very savvy because they're listening to us, which is great. They found us through the internet. But, absolutely. Geniuses. But, you know, a fair point, appreciated that some people don't. Now, you know, something I'm a big fan of was... two years ago now, I was looking for some complimentary products to sell and some headlines and stuff. And I was thinking, you know, it was all to do with content. I was looking for new affiliate products to add on to other stuff, da-da-da-da-da. And a great piece of advice I get was, well, you know, go and look at print magazines. Go and look at the newsagent's rack of magazines and stuff. And, you know, look at the headlines. The people that write the front covers, for example, women's magazines, you know, all the headlines are there, all the subjects are there, all the products are there. How I regained 10 years of my life, how I look 10 years younger, why alcohol wrecked my life, all this kind of stuff. You know, these content writers, these headline writers for those kind of things, those kind of magazines, they have to get across in like 5 or 6 words something that's really going to catch your attention and make you buy that magazine. So they're great places to go. Now, if you go to your newsagent store, you find, you know, talking about your example there about the mechanics guys, you know, you will find magazines all about cars. You know, what car, this, that car, and the other car, and blah, blah, blah. You know, they're still big business. There's still plenty of magazines like that. They're taking a bit of a hit from the internet, but there's still plenty out there. And they are full of pages of content about winter tips for this and, you know, why you should do this and, you know, problems with that, this and the other. And you know, they're all headlined. They're all in nice, decent sized chunks, and they can give you so much food for generating your own content. It's a great place to go. That's if you're not particularly web savvy. That's not if you are, it's still a great place to go. But you know, then you can move on to, well, you know, I'm just going to stick a search into Google and, you know, 10 tips for winter maintenance. Well, you'll come up with you know, dozens of other sites that have all their tips for winter maintenance. Pick out some of the individual items, come up with your own content based around that, because you know all about it, you know. But you can get a feel for you know what headlines grab your attention. Don't copy them, but you know they're the basis of generating your own content.
Absolutely, 80%. That's what the headline is worth. 80% of that article, because most people will read the headline. Even if they don't read the article, you can pick up an enormous amount of credibility just from someone going, that's clever.
Write the article headline at the end. You know, quite often, if you start off with a blank piece of paper, you know, writing the headline can be a very hard thing to do because you haven't written the content yet. If you know what the headline is going to be, well, great, go for it. But a lot of people struggle with that one. But write the content out. And, you know, probably about two-thirds of the way through writing, or when you're coming to summarise the article or something like that, you'll come up with I could use that for my headline. And you know, that generates a headline.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, those sort of headline inspirations are actually everywhere. This is a bit of a spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Jurassic Park yet, I'm about to tell you something that happens in the movie. In the movie, the kids find a car from the last version of Jurassic Park that's sitting in a cave, I'm going to say. And all they have to do is get the battery to spark and the engine turns over and they drive the car off. Now, that's an act of pure fantasy. A car that has sat there for 10 or 20 years is not going to just, you know, they're not going to be able to hook something up to the battery and get the car to start that way. So if you go back to my mechanic example, you know, you could say that you could make a headline up based on the fact that the dinosaurs aren't the only act of imagination in Jurassic Park, and then write your article from there. Because all you've had to do is take something that was in the popular eye, and let's face it, Jurassic Park's got an enormous amount of publicity at the moment. You could write a headline that says, find out what Jurassic Park and your old car have in common.
Yeah.
And there's your headline.
It's a start, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And people will look at that and go, yeah, right. And that's enough. It will pull them into the article and make them read it. And then you've got to then put the best information into that first paragraph.
Yeah.
You know, it's not where you don't save it for the end. Give it to them straight up, because you're constantly drawing them into what you want them to know.
It's a slope. It's, you know, once you want to give people reason to keep on reading the article, so that the headline's the great catch that gets them hooked on there. That's the hook that gets them involved. As soon as they read it, they've got to think, yeah, I'm going to keep on reading this. And you know, your style of writing, your style of layout and so on is important, because it will keep, you know, the next bit hooks into the next bit, hooks into the next bit. I've got to say, you know, Dan Brown gets criticism for perhaps not being the highest quality of writer when he writes his books. Gosh, what they're called? What's his bestseller called? It's gone out of my mind.
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to say, you know, I read that in about half a day, because you know, I couldn't put it down. It was one bit led into another bit, and it was well constructed from that point of view. You know,
he's the master of the cliffhanger.
Yeah, you know, and the end of each chapter just made you want to turn the page onto the next one, which is a great art, you know, and whatever you think about the quality of his writing so far, well, anybody that's going to sell the, you know, 15 gazillion books and live off it, well, fair play. I can't fault that. I'd have to accept that. But
I think Dan Brown's fairly comfortable with the fact that he's not Anton Chekhov.
Yeah,
but he's not writing for Anton Chekhov's audience. He is writing for, you know, a popular audience. Yeah. And, you know, it actually pisses me off a bit when people say, oh, yeah, but Dan Brown, you know, he's not a very, you know, good author. You know what? He sold millions of books because everybody read that book and went, wow, this is just, I can't put it down. You know, I've got to read the next chapter. I can't let it go.
Indeed.
That's what makes him a good author. That's his style.
Yeah, indeed. Now, we digress slightly, but it makes the point that, you want to take people along a path. So every paragraph, every sentence takes them onto the next one, and, you know, just makes them read a little bit further till they've absorbed all your information, and then you can, you know, make... hopefully make them take the call to action that you want in there. So,
And also remember, keep it short, sharp, and to the point. Yeah. Short, sharp, and shiny is what you're trying to write here. You know, don't write 800 words when 300 is enough.
Yeah.
You know, don't write 300 if 25 was enough.
Yeah.
Just get the point across till the customer what they need to know to solve their problems and what you need them to do to allow you to solve that problem.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. So, yeah, keep it. And even the style, particularly on web screens and so on, people don't tend to like reading long paragraphs. That's why you'll see a lot of content. You know, people have got the art of writing content, single line sentences, three or four line sentences, paragraphs, whatever. You know, they're short, they're broken up, lots of subheadings, you know, break it up with a couple of images and stuff like that. The way it looks is also important to encouraging people to keep on sliding down the page, if you like. So, yeah, anything else there then, David, on that?
I would say the other thing with content marketing is to make sure that when you write it, you have a view to the medium that it's going to push out into. So if you're putting it on your website, think about, am I also going to need to put this on my Facebook site? Am I also going to need to put this out in a tweet? Is it going out in an email? Because once you've got that in your mind as well, you've identified who your customer is, you've written them a message that's designed to speak specifically to them about their problem. That tells you where you're going to put it. But if you go, look, I need to get it into these other locations as well, that's great. Then you've got to then go in and do the edits that allow you to maximize that being for that format. So your message that you write for Facebook is very different to the one that you write for Twitter, is very different to the one that you write when you're going to put it into an email as well. And if you don't make sure that you adapt it for each of those different mediums, then you will run into problems and you won't maximize the media that you're trying to use to its best advantage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So then, anything else that we need to cover?
No, we've spoken about the sort of places that you can go and look, you know, go and look at people's Facebook posts that are in the industry like you. Look at their brochures, look at their content, look at their Twitter feeds, look at the videos that people put out. And then go to industries that are like your industry, the supplier industries, and see what they're doing as well. Because you're probably their customer.
Mm.
So think about how they're communicating with you and how you then need to communicate with them. If they're selling to you on an intellectual justification basis rather than on a desire point of view, you've got to learn how to take and understand how to take that information that is intellectual and turn it into desire. Don't just go, well, the supplier gave me this, therefore that must be the same way that I pass it on to my customers. Your customers are buying from a desire point of view. They're not buying from an intellectual point of view. You see, the desire that your suppliers use to get you to buy is, say, buy this product, it'll make you more money.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great art as well, in that, you know, a lot of people's businesses are centered around making something that is the solution to somebody's problem. They're presenting it, they're addressing the problem in a different way so that their market understands what the solution can offer. They're taking something that might be technical, perhaps, let's say something like a hi-fi company. You know, they will get stuff, as you say, you know, there's the company that make it, market to the retailer in one way, and that will include profitability and so on and so on. And there'll be a whole gump of technical stuff that comes with it about frequency variations and pitch and goodness knows what, you know, audio range and dynamic ranges and this, that and the other. And it will all be very, very highfalutin technical kind of stuff. The hi-fi company sells it to the person that wants a hi-fi system that reproduces stuff with enormous, fantastic clarity, with great bass. So they're taking all this kind of information on what they've been sold and converting it into a digestible format for their audience, which would be a different, you know, looking for different information and more likely to buy stuff on the basis of different information. So you as the business owner are possibly, you know, depending which part of the food chain you're in, will be possibly taking content from elsewhere and converting it into a different kind of content for your audience, because you've built that profile of your customer, that mental profile of what they look like, of who they are, what they do, you know, and you can address their issues based on that, possibly, you know, very effectively. So there we go. David, we're running over the half hour, I reckon. It's probably time to call it a wrap, unless you've got anything else to add to that.
No, there's a lot there for everyone to take in. You know, by all means, start creating content for your business. If you're not creating content, you are leaving money on the table.
Yeah, that's well worth it. Okie dokie. Look, that's it for this week, peoples. We're at the end of this week's episode. Any questions on that, feel free to contact us through our Facebook page, facebook.com/David versus David. We also have our website where you can find all the other episodes, well over 100 now, at davidversusdavid.com. And you can also subscribe to get new episodes through iTunes and leave us lovely reviews, which we sit back in our armchairs at the end of each day and think, God, look at that review, fantastic. That seriously, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a shout. And I guess until next week, it's going to be over and out from me, David Pritchard, here in the UK. And likewise.
And over and out from me too, here in beautiful paradise of Hobart, Tasmania. I look forward to talking to you all again about some more great marketing ideas next week.
Take care, everybody. Goodbye.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.